right, guys, we are back. Welcome to the 77th episode of the 443 podcast. I am a little depressed. Reese is a little sad. I'm coming off dental surgery and not a hell week, just a highly inconvenient week.
Yeah. Guys, we apologize for missing last weekend. I had some scheduling issues with our usual Tuesday recording as well as our Sunday. Plus, there was a lot of games midweek, so I was like, Matt, maybe we should just do the
weekend. Yeah, we were literally planning on doing this podcast in between the Tuesday and Wednesday games. We figured, what's the point? Let's just get together on the off week, the FA Cup weekend. You know, Reese, the only thing I really enjoyed about this week in football was the Millwall-Crystal Palace rivalry in the FA Cup getting reignited.
Yeah, RIP, my boy Mateta, man. That looked like a bad injury. I hope he's doing okay.
I like that Millwall, because I haven't paid attention to them much. I've researched them a little bit for the book I'm working on. But man, dude, they go back to their dirty roots. What's funny is because like their rivals are so like, because Crystal Palace is their third biggest rival, West Ham's their biggest rival, and then they have Charlton Athletic. Charlton Athletic is somewhere down in like the third or fourth tier now.
Yep,
they're in the championship, and then Crystal Palace is mid table, and West Ham is lower table in the Premier League. So it's like their enemies have been gone. This is the first time they've encountered one of them in a good while. They were just like, Ready to kill.
Elimination Chamber last night was on for the WWE fans. And, dude, the goalkeeper hit one of the best flying kicks I've seen. That he should be recruited, maybe, man. I think they might be onto something with that guy, man. But, dude, that was...
It was brutal.
I'm with you.
That was the... You know, you and me have been discussing... This might lead into our discussion of... bad refereeing, but that was a referee call that was laid out on a platter for the ref, and if the ref didn't make that call, then that's on him, because that's like the clearest red card I think I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
There's no ambiguity. None at all. Like, he just cleats to the face.
Yeah. But Tetsu, we hope for a quick recovery, man, but yeah, it was a brutal injury. Matt, we got a lot of football to cover. We have to go back to all the way to February 21st.
It's March 2nd.
It is March 2nd. Happy March, guys.
Happy 2 months into the year.
That's crazy.
It's been a year.
Already, man. Already. So back to February 21st, we got Leicester losing at home to Brentford 4-0. Matt, I remember actually a little bit of this game because I remember Fabio Carvalho scoring.
I remember you and me were chatting a lot about this game because we were like, oh, because Brentford did the thing I basically said they do. But then on top of that, it wasn't a 1-0. They just decided to like stick the knife in to Van Nistelrooy.
And party, man. It was not a Vardy party. But
no, they only had sugar-free Red Bull at the canteen that week.
Credit to Brentford. Matt, for this specific weekend, we'll just cover through all the games in a row. Is that cool?
Okay. Yeah, let's just burn through them. Shitty for Leicester, good for Thomas Frank and his CV for future jobs he should be applying for, because he deserves it.
It will come one day. Next game here. Excuse me, guys. We have Aston Villa beating up Chelsea 2-1 with a brace from Marco Asensio and a brace of assist from Marcus Rashford. And a goal from Enzo Fernandez in 10 minutes. I will say this very quickly, Matt.
That was rough.
I had friends over, and I said, every time we play Marcus Rashford, no matter the form this guy is in, he's got something for us. The dude comes off the bench, and he completely tears us apart.
Yeah.
I was depressed.
I know your feeling. There's a couple of players that face my team, and they're just like, they come back, and they've been out of form.
Prime.
Who's that guy from Newcastle that the...
Gimarães, Bruno?
Yeah, Bruno Gimarães. Yeah. That just is like, like I don't know what happened in the background, but he feels slighted by Arsenal.
He does
smelling salts before the match, and he just goes out there and just like wrecks us.
Yeah.
Same with like Harry Kane. Like Harry Kane would be like, he's on a 3-game goal drought. Brace for Lord Kane. I'm like, God damn it.
It's crazy. They just turn into like Prime Zizou or something. But credit to Villa. This was a huge win for them.
I feel for you. I'm glad to see I'm not the only team that has that.
Yeah. For Villa, this is a huge win. They were slipping a little bit in the table. Big win for them. Into the next game here, we have Everton, the mighty Everton of David Moyes' side.
The Lions of the North.
I know, man. Drawing Manchester United 2-2. Late goals from Bruno and Ugarte past the 75th minute to get them the equalizer.
So on this game, I remember there was controversy at the end of it. That should have been a penalty, right?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I have no recollection.
I wrote it down in my notes that it should have been a penalty for us to discuss it, but I didn't write why. I just go, penalty, question mark, exclamation point.
Now, I will say, one thing that I did think was pretty cool, former Arsenal Academy youth player Chido Obi-Martin actually came off the bench
for United
in this game, 17 years old. So something to keep an eye on. We'll see if he continues to get play time. Into the next game, Matt, we got Bournemouth losing at home at the Cherry Playhouse. 2 Wolves, 1-0. Oh,
yeah, that
they had a red card, and Mateus Cunha again getting on the goal sheet. What were your thoughts on this game?
So I watched the highlights of this game while I was waiting for a haircut. And I'm going to be honest, man, that was brutal. The Cherry Prince deserved better treatement than that.
Yeah, I don't remember the red card, but I believe it was a double yellow within 30 minutes. It was. That is not acceptable. So I hope the refs were accurate. I don't remember, again, the calls, but a double yellow that early in the game is...
The one of them, I don't remember if it was the first or the second one, was a valid card. The other one seemed like overkill. I think it was the first one was overkill, and then the second one, he did deserve it.
Gotcha.
From what I remember. Sorry, guys. We're going off 2-week memory here.
Again,
and I
apologize, yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I had this Thursday, I got a root canal, and they Novocained me up. And then when I get to the capping appointment, they go, hey, they didn't send over how much Novocaine they gave you. Did they tell you? I go, I don't know. And she goes, you know what? I'll just give you the maximum amount. I look like I had a stroke when I went to the comic book store. I wanted to go pick up one comic at the comic book store. And the people had seen me the day before because the store had gotten DC in and not Marvel. And I wanted one DC and one Marvel book. And I came back in. And this girl who saw me earlier the other day before looks at me and she goes, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm okay. And she goes, you look like you're having a stroke. Are you okay? She's like, the entire right side of your face is drooping. You look like Two-Face.
She follows it up with, you just drove through 3 buildings just like 2 minutes down the road.
It's Novocaine, man. It's not like I'm a nitrous or anything.
Yeah. Drowsed over.
No, she said, like, she showed me on the phone, her phone, I look like Two-Face. Like, my right side was like all drooped down and like it didn't, and when I was talking, it was like my mouth is down here, and I was like,
"Yeah, the lady had that before, and like literally, like half her lip was just down." So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I just had these.
She just like shot into places I didn't even know that it was needing to be. I couldn't feel the Novocaine, but I would feel the needle being removed.
Guys, Matt texted me, and he's like, "Wish me luck getting a root canal taken out." I'm like, the only thing I responded with, you know, I'm a good friend. You know, I should have said like, "Hey, hope it goes well, man." But I'm like, let me know how the drugs are. And you're like, drugs good. That's all I knew. I was like, okay.
What was funny is one of my other friends was texting me, and she's like, Matt, are you doing okay? And I was like, I'm high as hell, sell off flight. I don't think those words have ever left. It's a rap lyric. I remember it's from, like, I think 2 Chainz from, like, 10 years ago.
Hey, you've been in the rap game for a little while now. I know, you've been invested in this space recently, especially.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I guess.
I saw your boy was at the Elimination Chamber last night. Drizzy Drake, man.
Oh, screw that guy.
He was in the stands.
So, guys, before we move on, real quick here, did you listen to Meet Your Padre?
I did.
And did you enjoy it as much as I hated it?
No.
Or hate it as much as I did?
It is eating it to me more. Drake, you are on fraud watch, man. Absolutely disgusting.
Like, who is it? Like, sorry, guys, let's time for football here because we need to discuss a rap beef. Who is advising Drake right now? I'm going to be honest. Like, I've seen this on the internet. Sorry, guys, there's a rage building in me lately about a lot of things.
Just take a deep breath. Take the deep breath.
If I were Drake, I would fire my manager. Like, you just got dog walked in front of the world.
But then you
release an album with this song on it. This isn't the single from the thing, but
hold on.
You knew everyone was going to pick this up.
Here's the thing, though, and I've seen the memes with that song, too. It's really funny. Here's the thing. I think it's just poor timing, because historically speaking, to be fair to Drake, he does go through these phases where he takes, like, an international album. Like, you got the one of the albums, I'm blanking it, but he's got the UK kind of drill behind it, and he has Skepta on the album. There's one where he's got more of the Bora Bora type of vibe, the Jamaican vibe. Yeah. I think that's Views, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I know what you're talking about.
And Party Next Door is more of like an alternative rapper where he's more sort of in that space too. But the timing is terrible.
Just wait 3 weeks, man.
The timing is terrible.
You should have released at the beginning of April.
Or just not release it at all, you know?
I would prefer to not release it at all.
Because that song was so bad. And for that to be your first album after what's happened to you over the last year, not a good look, man. But, Matt...
All right, so back to football.
Speaking of not a good look, we have Arsenal losing at home to West Ham 1-0 with our boy MLS back on the red card train. What happened? What, first off, I didn't see the red card. Was the red card valid?
It was valid.
Okay, so the last one obviously wasn't. This one actually made sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you...
He's not going to get this ban rescinded?
I've seen Arsenal fans try to defend it. So I look at red cards as kind of a spectrum, and it's above the 50% threshold for me. It's like a 60% red card. The ref could have like given him a yellow and talked to him, or he could have just said, you know, we don't know how the players are treating the ref. We don't know what's going on, because they'll talk and they'll put their hands over their mouths. I don't know what's going on, but it's in a spectrum. It wasn't the firm red. It was a light red for me, but it was in the red spectrum.
We've seen worse red cards given, better yellows give, whatever.
Yeah.
I got you.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a red offense, but it could have been handled differently. It just depends on the referee and, you know, stuff like that.
I don't think there's too much to cover on this game, because obviously the thing is you guys do not have a valid striker at your position. So, like, the reason you guys aren't getting the results or the performances that you're looking for is down to the lack of a true number nine like Kai Havertz, who does so much in the midfield, along with being there attacking. How was Mourinho in this game, though?
He had
that brace the week before.
He was kind of absent. And you and me had discussed this, and I know there were people that were like, oh, he did the brace. He should be up front. I go, he did the brace because Leicester City are shit, and they were worn down for 70 minutes. And he came on as fresh legs.
You did say that you wanted Mourinho to be off the bench again.
I wanted him to come off the bench. I wanted everyone else to wear out this West Ham team. And then Mourinho come in for the last 20 minutes and shake things up. It's the only thing you got, because Sterling is incapable of shaking things up. He is capable of not defensively blundering a team like Arsenal into being like down, but he's not capable of scoring goals.
With the international break, the small break that we're having because of the FA Cup, is there any player? Are you guys getting some fresh legs back in the lineup for
Martinelli's supposed to come back at the end of this month, and if Saka is to come back, it'd be in April.
Okay, so you still have to wait a little bit.
There are rumors that we're talking about getting the Brazilian guy who used to play up front for Liverpool as a free.
Brazilian guy that played up front for Liverpool.
He had big teeth.
When did he play for Liverpool?
Back when Klopp was in charge. He left a couple years ago to Saudi Arabia.
Brazilian. Yeah. Bobby.
Bobby Chompers.
Sorry. My bad, guys. My bad.
I only know a nickname that I heard somebody
call. Big Teeth. Yeah. I don't know why that threw me off, but that makes total sense. Bobby Firmino. Okay.
Yeah.
Got you.
I don't think it would be... I think he'd just be a body at this point.
Yeah. And if he's anything like he was in the Premier League, he's a good defensive option as an attacker. His biggest thing was he's really good at pressing, and you guys are obviously a very pressing team. So, hey, I can see it.
That's rumors, because I guess he's available on a free...
And that's like immediate transaction. You can get him. Okay. Hey.
But I'm going to be honest. West Ham was defensively depleted too. We had no excuse. Nobody's shown in this game other than Jared Bowen.
Gotcha.
And he got his goal and he won the game. And I sounded like one of those American sports announcers there for a second.
It's all good. West Ham right now are a little bit worrying for me. And I'm glad you brought that up, that Bowen was really the only showman. He's been the only showman this season.
On both teams.
Yeah. He's been the only showman for this team, though, for the last several months. Like, Kudus has not been that good. Mm-mm. Paqueta's been non-existent. I'm very worried that another overhaul will be coming for West Ham, but they've already spent so much money on this team. I don't know. You know, I don't know what Potter's going
to
do.
There is money to be made in Jared Bowen. I think that
100%.
Liverpool would take him. Arsenal will take him. I don't know if you would take him, Chelsea.
The thing is if you need a... the thing with Liverpool is Salah is not getting a new contract yet. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, he should be. We all agree with that. But if he doesn't, I think Bowen is a perfect replacement for him.
We don't know what is being offered to him on the other... So I listened to a Liverpool podcast about 2 weeks ago, and this is a big topic on it. Mm-hmm. And basically what they were saying was that nobody knows... The Saudis aren't being transparent on what they're offering him. They could be offering him, like, Neymar times two money or something ridiculous that you can't turn down. Yeah. And he could be trying to get the best he can, the best contract in the league, even beyond a Haaland kind of contract out of Liverpool. And Liverpool, even we'll discuss it when we get into the money league. Liverpool are good, but they're not in terms of where they're at, but they're not at that level of City, PSG, or Bayern Munich or Real Madrid.
Yeah. And my thing is, it's very tricky for Liverpool because he is 31, 32 years old. So if you give him a huge contract, you can maybe only give him max 2 years, max. Yeah. And that's a lot of money.
And plus the talk is that the club is possibly accepting sales. They don't know if they want to hinder their balance sheet by doing this. There's a lot of factors that we don't understand because this is big money for an asset that may not be at the end of his life. He could have a Drogba-like career where he goes on a lot longer than most people think. Yeah. But then you look at like a Sterling who's a year younger than him. And I'm not saying he's washed, but he needs to pull an Antony and go to a different league and a play style.
Yeah. A change of scenery would do him well. He's been in London and in England for too long.
Yeah.
But my thing with Salah is like, yeah, you could give him for a little bit longer, but again, if you're giving him max 2 years,
then you're limiting yourself on what you can do to do other things.
And we talked about this last summer when even Arne Slot got hired. We were saying that, you know, with Salah impending to leave, Van Dijk may want to leave. Trent is already being linked with the move away.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always felt like Slot was going to be the transition manager for someone bigger, you know, a huge signing like Xabi Alonso, but Slot could be the guy. And for the transition period and after. So they may just build, you know, continue this rebuild with Slot. I mean, why wouldn't they after what he's achieved this year? But we sort of talked about how this season is more of a transition period, and it still seems that way because they haven't renewed Salah. They haven't talked to Trent.
It seems like the Leicester season where everyone fell off and Leicester happened to get it when it could have been the two North London clubs that were coming in second and third in a two-horse race.
Shout out Eden Hazard for saving Arsenal fans and also saving the rest of the league from Spurs winning a trophy. Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, sir. Hallowed be that name. Yeah, it's just one of those seasons where it just seemed like everyone dropped off, and instead of something like a Nottingham Forest doing really good, it was Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's a great point, actually, and we'll talk about Nottingham Forest when they play you guys. It's like it's turned into from like a top three race, almost title race. Now it's turning into like a top two title race, and it's not
really. I have thoughts
on
that game. That game was more disappointing to me than this West Ham game when we get to the Nottingham Forest game. No, because
I'm excited to talk about it. Well, we'll get there, brother.
To finish up on West Ham, because Jared Bowen showed his star credentials, and let me finish my point. Yeah. I think Chelsea would take him, Nottingham Forest take him, Liverpool, Arsenal. I think every team in this league except for Man City would take Jared Bowen.
100%.
It's just because I think that they already have a better player than him in that position right now.
Well, I can't. Oh, Savio?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, because of the money they'd have to outlay, Savio came through their system. They got him for pennies on the dollar, and they moved him through their teams at cost.
Yeah.
I think basically like they got him for pennies, and they're just moving pots of money around for him. So for the price of Savio, I think that the price you'd have to pay West Ham for Jared Bowen would, I think he's better than Savinho in spurts, but it's kind of like you're trading a, you know, I don't know anything to like compare
Savio
to.
Is more of a support winger, and that helps Haaland. Bowen is more of inside the box Salah type of poacher. So I feel like what you're saying is accurate. You know,
yeah, it's just that
Play styles don't match up to where Bowen would fit in that City system over Savio.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But Arsenal, Liverpool would take him in a heartbeat. I think they could get $70 million for him. I think any club could get him and make themselves better. Great. Except for City, just because of the sweetheart deal they got on Savinho.
Yeah. What, $25 million from their parent club or not parent
Yeah, but
club,
the club. Third team, the French team that bought him paid $20 million for him. And then he's been moved through the system to Girona, to Man City, just moving money around between the clubs that it's their money. It's just like you're taking, if I give Paco $3 bills and I start moving those dollar bills around to get his treat, ultimately I'm just moving my own money around.
Exactly. 13 goals and assists for West Ham already for Bowen. And we still got a few months left. And this isn't a struggling West Ham side that can barely create anything. So,
but we got a lot to cover. Let's move on to the next game.
Fulham at home, losing to Crystal Palace 2-0. Own goal from former Crystal Palace player Joakim Andersen, and then Daniel Munoz in the 66th minute to certify this game. Zero shots on goal for Fulham. Very unlike them. I think this was more just a bad performance from them, because this is a very fun team to watch and a team that we're both very intrigued by with their play styles. What were your thoughts on this?
What was the game?
Fulham Crystal Palace.
I don't really remember a lot of this game, but what was the score? Sorry, I was trying to look up the Money League for our next section.
No worries. 2-0.
2-0 for Fulham?
Crystal Palace. Oh. Zero shots on goal for Fulham. And that's what I was saying, is I think it was more just a bad performance because Fulham is a team we're both intrigued by, and this team is usually a team that has several shots on goal with how well they play in the play style.
So we'll say this on Crystal Palace. Good for them, but I'm going to be interested in what Glasner is able to bring into this team next year and if they can keep Eze still.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, with Eze's season, it's definitely a possibility he could stay because he hasn't been up to par. But again, this Palace team has overall struggled, so I'm with you, man. The overload, the investments are going to be very important for them. It depends on...
Because I think that this year we saw kind of a slump in terms of buying. I think Liverpool should have themselves ironed out next year, and they may have to replace three key pieces. I think Arsenal, after the outrage that's going on, I think that they're going to have to spend money in the summer because they didn't spend anything in the winter. Chelsea, I think that you guys will have had some money drop off your contracts, and I think you need, well, you're allegedly ready to invest in a new goalkeeper.
Yeah, goalkeeper and striker are probably the two main areas that Chelsea are needing. Arsenal, I think, at number nine, and then some sort of wing.
I think we need three forwards. Yeah. We need fresh blood in that team.
To rejuvenate the side. Yeah.
And then Zubimendi. I do think we do need another midfielder to complete a kind of give us options.
That's right, because Jorginho and Partey. Jorginho's contract is up this summer.
Yes.
And then Partey is next summer, I believe.
Yeah, Jorginho has a plus one that hasn't been activated yet, from what I understand.
Gotcha.
So he may stick around another year as like coach and player.
That'd be kind of cold. I'm always there for Georgie as a coach, man.
But credit to Crystal Palace in this.
Next game up, we got Ipswich losing to Spurs 4-1.
Matt, this was a comfortable win and a much needed win for Spurs side against a lower table team.
Yeah, man. I saw this and I was like, I didn't even ask my mom about it because this is just a beating. Spurs can still beat up the Minnows, but this has got to hurt their goal differential for any chance of survival. I think that the room, like I've heard people saying that the three relegation clubs are pretty much done, and anything going on with Man United being in a relegation fight is just banter and jokes at this point.
Yeah, because Spurs and Man United right now are 13th and 14th in the league. So, I mean, they're locked up, but it's fun to talk about, you know. Because these teams should be.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I've been sending these videos of people making fun of Arsenal, and I found a lot of them pretty funny, you know? Like, that one other guy who's like, Arsenal have not spent one day, but Man United have. And I'm like, well, that's funny. Because, like, I said that like a guy, like, I'm a Goodfellas. Like, oh, you think I'm a clown?
That's funny.
Yeah. But it is funny. Like, I need to know how that happened. How did they spend one day? I don't remember Man United like being any good under Ten Hag this year.
Was Ten Hag manager until September, and that's when Abraham came in?
Or I think September, October.
He didn't even make it into Halloween, man.
No, I think what happened was Van Nistelrooy was in charge around my birthday.
That's right.
Right after our anniversary year.
Chelsea drawed Man United with the rude awakening. That's correct.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Next game here, we got Brighton beating up on Southampton 4-0. João Pedro, Jorginho Rutter, Kyaru Mutoma, and Jack Hinzlewood.
I don't think there's anything to discuss on this. Southampton aren't good. Brighton
have been pretty good lately.
Decent.
Yeah.
And you ready to good job for Brighton. You ready to move on?
So actually, really quickly, since Forest killed them 7-0 back on the 1st of February, Brighton have been undefeated. So credit to them, even in that they also beat Newcastle at extra time over this past weekend for the FA Cup. So good to see our boy Herzer back on the up train with this Brighton side.
Matt, we're into the Sunday slate of the first weekend of games. We may need to move a little bit quicker
here. Yeah. This is the Man United one, right?
Yes. No, it's not. Oh. We got Newcastle beating Forest 4-3. The thing was, it was 4-0 by within 30 minutes of Newcastle, mm-hmm. and Forest actually almost brought it back. So 4-1, sorry. But technically, this was a beatdown.
Yeah.
There was no way for Forest to come back because they were down 3 goals, but what a game.
But I'll discuss my thoughts on Forest because I think they're underachieving now that they've made this third, just because this game and the game that they played right after it. But
they're in a tough run of games. Yeah,
they are in a tough run of games, and I think they may just need to conserve their energy. Yeah. But
credit to Newcastle.
Yeah. But you ready to move on to City Liverpool?
Manchester City losing to Liverpool 2-0, goals from the inevitable Salah and Szoboszlai. Matt, I'll start this one off. Tactically, this was perfect execution from Slot. Mm-hmm. He basically took a page out of every team that plays a high-pressing team like City or high-possession team where, hey, we'll sit back, let you dance in front of the ball. We're going to sit on Haaland with two people or with, Van Dijk. We'd only need Van Dijk on Haaland. And when our time comes, we're going to break out in a counterattack and score on you. And that's exactly what Liverpool did. It was a very comfortable defensive performance for them. City did not offer much offensively, which is honestly understandable. Like I think I said this a couple weeks ago when we had our last pod. I said that Liverpool... I lost my train of thought. What did I say? Let me think.
I think you said this is Liverpool's game to lose or something along those lines a month ago.
A month ago. I think what I was saying was City are still in like a rejuvenation phase where, like, yes, they've been in good form, but Liverpool are still the top dog. Something along those lines. I'm having trouble remembering it now, but I had a feeling that Liverpool would come out of this game, and I knew that City were not ready for a fight like this. Now, we'll get into City, what happens in midweek, where, you know, they had the result from Real Madrid last week. Into this midweek game, we'll talk about it. Matt, what were your thoughts on this game? Sorry.
So
I rambled up a little bit for you.
No, you're good, man. This is a game that, after Arsenal lost to West Ham, I fully expected Liverpool to just turn the screw and just lock this title up. And they didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
They knew what they had to do, and they went and did it. And City offered no resistance to it at all, from what I could tell.
Yeah.
I would go in and out of this game. I had it on my laptop. I was going doing chores, doing laundry. I think I even left at one point to go get a snack or something.
There you go.
Because in the first 20 minutes, I knew that City couldn't win the game. I just didn't know if they could draw or how bad they lose by.
Exactly. Credit to Liverpool.
When City is off, you can just tell they're off.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question after the Arsenal game for midweek, and we'll talk about where you pretty much hypothetically stand in your title race, but let's save it for that after the Forest game. But into the Tuesday slate here, we got Chelsea finally getting back on the win sheet here, beating up Southampton 4-0. Sad week for the Southampton fans, but it was a good performance.
Who's dead last? Is it Southampton?
I'd assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are last. With 9 points, they are 6 points.
What's their negative goal differential?
Minus 46.
Okay, I was thinking 50, so I was pretty damn close.
Leicester is minus 36.
Okay.
But
and Ipswich is up in the ones who might have a chance of escaping.
Yeah, minus 28, man. Not bad.
Not bad.
But my thoughts on this game. I texted one of my old high school friends who's also a Chelsea fan, and I basically said, the way that Southampton are playing, if Chelsea don't win this at least 3-0, I will be disappointed. And they did not disappoint, finally, because I thought they would. Like, hypothetically, I was like, this seems like a straight-up Chelsea win. Everything's going perfectly. When's the inevitable failure going to come? It didn't happen, Matt. It for once did not happen. And I know it was Southampton, but it felt nice to not have to stress about life for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But
what you and me were discussing this earlier. We are not getting joy from this season, either one of us.
I got through last season with Mauricio Pochettino, and I was still relatively happy. And I'm happy with where Chelsea is at, but I'm not happy. I still feel sadness, and it hurts.
Yeah. It's like my club is going through one of the best runs they've had in, 30 years. Best run I've seen as a fan. I missed the glory hunting days of Arsenal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. I have to kind of take a hat off and not pay attention to some of the stuff that's being said. 'Cause it's all just algorithm clickbait. Yep. Is, to quote the great show Ted Lasso, it's all just poop, eh? Like,
shout out Jamie Tart, man.
Yeah, shout out to Jamie Tart.
That's our boy, man.
Well, who is he? They made him look in the third season like my boy from Man City.
Jack Grealish, man.
Yeah, Jack Grealish. Thank you.
But Matt, here's the thing. Here's what pisses me off.
About
the clickbait, about the freaking poopy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How concerning is Cole Palmer's recent form? Guys, can I just...
Get on your soapbox,
I
sir.
I want to rip this fucking mic off, dude.
Please don't. We can't afford a new one.
I know that, and I will not. But
you can destroy the headphones if you want. You can just buy me a new pair. They're $50 headphones.
I will withhold all anger. But I will say, Matt has Cole Palmer has been poor in front of...
Here, you can destroy my Arsenal coaster.
That I might have to do. Here's my thing, Matt. Cole Palmer has not been poor. He has been poor in front of goal. There's a lot of clarification and things that need to be clarified when they put a clickbait header like that. Because Cole Palmer has been utterly perfect outside of what has occurred in front of goal. Yes, the bro is slipping in a one-on-one. Yes, he's not rolling it past the keeper and doing a chip like he was doing last season. But you can't expect that from a 21-year-old player to do that season after season. He's still got 17, 14 goals, and he's like fourth in the golden boot race. But we're talking about poor form, but not just poor form in front of goal.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a poor form in front of goal for like 3 weeks. Before that, he was perfect. He's doing everything perfect. He's just not scoring goals. That is completely okay. He's the only person that is not allowed. He's the only person that's allowed to miss a few freaking chances.
Well, so you don't listen to the Arsenal Visual podcast, but Elliot has this thing of how we've gotten into this thing where a player is either the GOAT, like Anthony.
Yes.
And guys, I'm being sarcastic. I'm glad Anthony is in a good vein of form in Spain.
We talked about this.
But you're either the GOAT or you're complete shit. And Cole Palmer is not complete shit. Yeah, he's not scoring right now, but to be an effective team in the Premier League, you have to, as a player, have multiple roles.
Yes.
And sometimes you can not be good at one of your 4 to 5 things you're tasked to do, like Kai Havertz or Darwin Nunez.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, Cole Palmer, Kai Havertz, and Darwin Nunez haven't been scoring goals lately.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be saying with Kai being injured.
I got you.
But they're doing everything else they're asked to do by their manager to make the team be effective.
Yes, it's a team sport, guys. And not everyone can be like Salah, where you score 30 goals and you don't miss every opportunity. But like, Salah's also 30 years old. And if you go back 2 seasons ago when they were in a title race, he had 16 goals, I think. And then January came, he had 6 the rest of the game, 3 the rest of the season. So it's a part of life. Players are going to go through bad pieces of form. It's the team around you that has to step up when you're poor in front of goal, which is exactly what Chelsea did in this particular performance. I don't want to speak about the last 3 games, but today they did it.
So this brings up an interesting point. I know we got a lot to do here, but it just kind of popped in my brain.
We're talking, man. We're just chit-chatting, man. Take your time.
Yeah. So have you noticed how the American media just, and I don't mean to be offensive, that they just like love the American players?
Yeah.
Like, they put Christian Pulisic in conversations with Lionel Messi. They love their players so much.
Yeah.
They talk about, who's the young man? Weston McKinney.
Yeah.
Like he is tearing up League One.
Syria,
thank you, sir. Like, he and they glaze, I think, is the most polite way to say. They glaze their players. But here's the thing. The English media tears down their players in such a way that I find, like, unfathomable. Like, the way that Cole Palmer was boosted up and then shit on. And the way they're just destroying MLS.
Well, it's like, you go back and it's like, it's really, I noticed it with the Euro final a few years
ago. Cole Palmer's the first, and I don't mean to get Caucasian player I've seen them really do this to lately. Like, they did it to Saka and Rashford and now MLS, but I haven't seen them turn so fast on like Cole Palmer like this. I don't know what's going on. Like, it took them forever to turn on Phil and Grealish.
Yeah, well, my thing is, like, that's what I was getting to,
like,
with
we're
Saka.
Barely hearing about Phil Foden's drop off, and it's like he's not done a lot this entire season, and it's February.
March, brother.
March, my bad.
Yeah, but
well, it's the first day of March.
I'm kidding.
Or second day.
Yeah. But that's the point I was getting to, as you were saying, like, with Saka and Rashford. Like, yeah, it was their worst game, but there were 2 penalties. Like, they're penalties, bro. Like, did they play bad in the game? No, they got to penalties. Like, they almost won the final, but they missed a penalty. Like,
Well, hey, let's just racially abuse our players that just represented our country. Yeah.
And like American fans of the sport, like, do you see that the shirt, the Bakayo Marcus shirt, you know, with the four names or three names, or whatever it was like on Etsy's like biggest selling shirt list for like the 3 months after in the United States, but it really wasn't even sold much in Europe.
You know what we need to do, man,
because those three players are on three of the biggest teams that are supporting the United States. Exactly. And people, like, I even was feeling bad for Marcus Rashford. I was like, oh man,
exactly, it you should, no player should go through that. And my thing is, like, that's why I love Robbie Musto and Robbie Earl, because like when they talk about things, like, they are so balanced. And that's the thing with Americans, are too nice, and then the English fans are too harsh. And they're reactionary. They're non-reactionary, too reactionary. Got to find the balance. And I think that's what Musto and Earl do so well.
And Timmy Howard.
The NBC cast as a whole. Sorry.
Except for Rebecca Lowe.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Why are you hanging out with Jamie Carragher?
Stick to being a host, but don't start providing opinions and then saying, like, hey.
I wish she would be more of an opinionated on Crystal Palace. I wish she would break
character. That one time was crazy, man.
We love Rebecca Lowe, sorry. But no, like, you're saying, like, I tried to get into the Jamie Carragher. Who's the other guy? The English guy who's always with him? Neville, yeah. Thank you. Sorry, guys.
I don't like them. I do not like them.
They blatantly lie and omit truths and say things that aren't true. And it drives me nuts, because it's
Chelsea's not a young and exciting project. No, it's not a young and exciting project. The average age of Chelsea's team is breaking records every single time.
If Cucurella wasn't on the team, they would be like an average age of 21 or 22. Cucurella is the only thing bringing their average to 24.
A team that's average age is like 23.
Amar Cucurella is 28.
Yeah, 26, dude. He's not even that old. Yeah. The average age is 23.
He just looks old. He has one of those faces, right?
He's got like my goatee right now. But the average age is 23. They're fourth or fifth in the league. And it's not a young and exciting project? Like, brother, you're saying Arsenal is not a title-contending team, but they've challenged City the last two seasons? What are you talking about?
Like, if you do the points table for the last 3 years, like, it's literally City-Arsenal pool. Because, like, Arsenal just maintains the points. They just can't get over the hump. But it's just like...
We treat this as therapy. This podcast might just turn into a therapy session for football, dude.
But it's like... You may keep harping on this. Like, we discuss every now and then, do we want to continue doing the pod? Because the pod brings us joy. We love talking to each other.
It's not the pod that's the problem.
Yeah, it's the environment that we're in. And it's like, we feel like we're taking crazy pills. And we are Americans. And I am too nice. I have my friends tell me all the time I'm too nice. Because the people I know who are Arsenal fans who live in London, I would tell them, like, oh, yeah, I was talking to this Tottenham fan on the tube. And they're like, why are you so nice to those people, Matthew? Why are you kind? Why do you give them the benefit of the doubt? I'm like, because we need to be diplomatic.
It's a sport, bro.
Yeah, it's a game.
Like, don't worry. Like,
I don't live in the cauldron of London where, like, some West Ham kid will throw a sandwich at me if he sees me wearing my Arsenal kit on the tube.
My thing is, like, Matt, even if I was born in London, I don't see myself taking it and consuming me the way it does. Like, football, I literally told the lady, guys, this is 100% facts. No, I'm not a dickhead. What I'm about to say is 100% true. I told the lady, Chelsea comes first and then you. I've told her that.
Damn.
Hey. But guess what? She still got the ring, so she's fine. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's it. That doesn't mean that when Chelsea lose, I'm going to go, like, literally just start cutting, like, through people's chest and saying, hey, yo, where you from, lad?
Yeah.
I hop in the tube, and I'm just going to start shanking because they're West Ham fans? Like, bro, like, what? What are we doing here? There's a balance to it, man. There's a balance. Tell your lady that you're not as important as Chelsea, but then don't shank a dude because he's a West Ham fan. There's a balance, bro.
I know we're plastic fans,
Matt.
And I made that with air quotes. Sorry.
And Matt, you know, I'm going to give you a piece of advice because I'm one of the oldest living beings. Yes. Existence.
You remember when they built the bridges over the Thames?
I'm like the living tribunal at this point.
Wow, like deep Marvel cut right there.
You like the pole, man?
Yeah.
Thank you. Maybe wait a couple years into your dating before you tell her that you appreciate Arsenal before her.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to be in any relationship where I consider the partner I'm with less than the football club Arsenal.
Hey, but I've been Chelsea's been my first love.
I've met women where they're equal and they were never able to be push above them. And then I have women in my life that, like, if things happen, they would be above them, but things just aren't triggering right.
But that's because I'm very particular with my love. But yeah, dating advice, guys, do not tell the significant other a few weeks into your honeymoon phase, I like said club over you.
Yeah, because you might set yourself up for the world of hurt may come in a year. It might just be me and Paco doing this podcast next year because you might just disappear. Like, I'll go over to your apartment like, oh, Reese, yeah, he went to go see Chelsea. I haven't heard from him.
Can we turn this podcast rated R for a sec? I really got a funny story that I have to tell you this.
All right, go ahead, sir. Because we still have to get through this week's games.
Yeah. Okay, so
18 and over section right here for the fans. What I will say is, Matt, there was a Saturday morning. Okay, Chelsea is on my TV screen. I'm watching Chelsea. The lady has to leave in a few minutes. And I was like, hey, you want to do some fun stuff real quick before you head out, you know, just really quickly. She's like, okay, but it's got to be now. I go to the bathroom, you know, I'm getting mentally prepared, getting my trousers off. God. On the TV screen, I hear, Chelsea's just won a penalty. Palma's going to be taking it. I'm like, she's like, it's now or never. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I pulled my pants up.
Wow.
I went straight to the TV and I watched Chelsea Cole Palmer score a penalty. Don't doubt me about my passion, Matt. Do not doubt me about my passion, man.
Wow. Okay. I.
That's the. See, bro, this is what I'm talking about. I'm committed, man. I'm telling you, this is my life. It's my life. But the stuff around it is hurting me when we talk about it. Back to bring it full circle moment. This podcast I love. But the football life is just tough right now.
Wow.
No, so I'm going to let you digest that.
The two kind of fans we are, because one time when the first trip I made to the UK, it was the season that Leicester won the title. Okay. And Arsenal was playing Leicester the first time when I was over there. I had tickets to go to the Manchester United game coming up that week. I met a girl at a bar. During the game I was watching, I gave up watching the game and went back to her place instead of finishing the game. And I didn't know that Leicester lost and Arsenal won until I was on the tube going back to my hostel.
Hey, my dog.
Because
but the difference is, Matt, this has been
your significant
we've
other.
Been through the honeymoon phase. We've been dating for like 4 or 5 years at this point. We can miss a day of fun activities for a few minutes. It's a totally different. I would probably do the same thing if I was in your position, honestly. Hey, is what it is.
Especially if she had the Elizabeth Hurley accent, man. That's my favorite British female accent.
That's your English kink right there?
Yeah.
Your British kink? Gotcha.
That kind of posh, like, suave accent that they. Not the David Beckham's wife posh, but like the sexy version of that.
Hey, yeah. David Beckham. You can hit me up anytime, sir. All right, let's get back to football.
Where were we? We went out on a big tangent. Are we on Wednesday? Tuesday's game? We're on Tuesday now.
We just finished up Chelsea. Okay. So now we got Brighton at home beating Bournemouth 2-1. Unfortunate past few weeks for Bournemouth, actually, because.
And they're in that fight for sixth.
Yeah.
They're in the contention for. With the fifth Champions League spot possibly going to the British teams. This is a big fight for 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Very true. Sorry. So, yeah, right now they're 7th place, so they're 2 points behind Newcastle.
So they're right now they're in Europa Conference, but it could become Europa League.
Correct.
Okay.
But a big win for Brighton again. Like I said,
so
they're undefeated.
Real quick timeout. I hope to goodness that Arsenal doesn't crash against PSV this week to keep that coefficient alive.
That's right.
Because I'm going to be honest, if we end up getting fifth and we cost ourselves the fifth spot of Champions League, oh my, that's the meme of the guy with the pipe where it says Arsenal, the pipe is Arsenal and the guy they're hitting is Arsenal.
Wait, so how does it work? If you guys get bounced out, then we lose out on that?
No, we don't lose, but it's one less team that can play in the coefficient because when your team start to drop off, you lose your win percentage because like Aston Villa and Liverpool are in the same bracket. So if Liverpool and Aston Villa both win their games this week, they face each other. Mm. And that means that one of the English teams is going to go. because they're going to face each other, or one of them gets knocked out by the teams they're facing.
Gotcha.
Because Liverpool is facing PSG. They're not a minnow.
Yeah.
Either way, out of that bracket, you're going to go from three English teams in the Champions League when you get to the final eight to two if Arsenal's able to beat PSV and survive Madrid, which I doubt. So we could literally go from having three teams in the Champions League in the span of between now and April
two rounds,
having one.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal's got to get through a Madrid team, Villa's got to get through who they got, and then they got to face Liverpool or PSG. If Liverpool can't beat PSG, then we're down to – we could be out of English teams before we make it to the Elite Eight.
And on that note, shout out to the Arsenal fan from one of the videos you sent me that thinks that you guys are going to be one of the Madrid teams in the second round. He's like, winning, obviously. I was like, what?
I'm sorry.
Obviously, guys, after saying winning is nuts.
So we've had this discussion. I'm a Chiefs fan, but I'm falling out of love with the NFL, and it's happening quick. And some of these videos these people put out, I know it's just designed to get people agitated, but what delusional paint huffing are you doing before you make this video? Where you're like, obviously we're going to beat either Madrid team we face. And Atletico Madrid are no slouches. They're leading La Liga right now, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, I could see you guys maybe getting past Atletico, but Real Madrid and Champions League football is the toughest thing to get over.
I am more concerned with surviving PSV right now than I am with either Athletic or Madrid team that we face, because I think that the form that the club's in right now, beating PSV is a challenge for the Arsenal.
PSV beat AC Milan, a respectable team who we thought was going to walk past PSV. So you don't know what you're getting with this team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. PSV, just like Porto last year. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm not. Sporting. Was it Sporting?
No, it was Porto.
Porto, thank you.
Good poll, actually. Yeah. That was a good call.
They're a team that Arsenal on paper should easily beat. But it's not on paper. It's on the pitch. This is the biggest game of PSV's season right here. Yeah, they're facing an English giant, the smallest of the giants. Let me preface that. The smallest big club.
Yep, but they have the biggest opportunity to win because of what Arsenal is currently going through with their injury crisis. So it's making it even more difficult for Arsenal right now.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we're obviously getting through peace. I hate when they say that. Because it's like, and then they're going to be the ones who do these videos where they're like pulling their
Arteta out. Like this that comes back to like the English balance, right? Mm-hmm. The whole balancing thing. Because if you set your expectations at a normal level and you realize Arsenal don't have a nine.
Yeah.
We haven't had Odegaard since freaking Vietnam.
Well, we have Odegaard, but he's a shell of himself.
Sorry, Saka. I meant to say Saka. We haven't had Saka since Vietnam. Like, it's not, you guys should get past PSV, but you can't be, like, let down if you don't, because you guys are missing key pieces.
Well, all PSV really have to do to camper the front line we're playing is put two to three guys on Enwery and expect a beaten down Trossard and a guy who's a midfielder to beat you.
It's tough, man. Can you imagine Chelsea fans if Cole Palmer got injured for like a month, dude? They would be like screaming
that little kid
ownership
would be
out.
Beating up the people who interview him on the street.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like the ownership would be out like they're already doing. Fans would be protest. Like, dude, like they would plunder.
So
man.
I didn't say this to you, but I know we have a lot to cover, but this is a vetting. Because guys, we don't get in front of each other that much anymore.
It's been a few weeks.
So I sent this video of a Southampton supporter going to your game, and he goes, so I get off the tube at the Fulham station, Fulham Garden, and I watch as Chelsea fans protest their ownership, spending $1 billion in the span of 2.5 years, and they want them out. And they built a remarkable team that's going to win a trophy this year unless they completely shit the bed in Europe. But they want them out. And he goes, so I'm at the gate, and he goes, God, I hate Chelsea.
I honestly don't blame him, dude. Like, I hate my team too. I hate my fans too. It's like being a Celtics fan. Like, I'm a Celtics fan, guys. The only reason I'm a Celtics fan, really quickly, Ray Allen was a Seattle Supersonic. Supersonic got superseded. Got a Celtic. I became a Celtic fan. But Celtics fans are freaking racist, dude. Like, they are racist when they are in heated moments against teams that they don't like.
Oh, yeah.
And it's similar with Chelsea fans. Like, Chelsea... Not the racism. Well,
there's a little bit of racism.
Like a decade ago, you know, a bunch of, you know. Yeah. But what I will say is,
From a Chelsea fan, I learned a new racial slur when I was in London one of my trips. There is something going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know everything of it. I don't know the politics of that.
100%.
But
I'm with you.
I learned a new term for a particular ethnic group I did not know existed, but it was from a man wearing a Chelsea scarf.
Yes, yes. I think I know what you're referencing. But my thing is
I'll tell you off the pod when we're off hot mics. I don't want it to be
I got you. But that's the same way with Chelsea fans towards their ownership. Like, you're like, that one video you sent me of the guy saying, buy some more fucking players, mate. Dude, because they didn't spend in January, they need to spend $100 million in the middle of January? That's your buying some
players?
They
did that last season.
Like, dude. Okay, well, let's get back to football, Matt. We still got a lot to get through here.
Yeah, and I still want to discuss the new money table.
I like how we still resort, like, we're like, hey, Brighton beat Bournemouth 2-1. Arsenal and Chelsea just keep getting fucked over.
We're considering, guys, just changing the name of this podcast to the 443 Presents the Lion in the Cannon and just making this an Arsenal and Chelsea podcast.
Yeah. We're still, yeah.
We haven't pulled the trigger on it, but it has been a discussion.
We still like talking to other football teams, but we are trending towards that direction. But we got Crystal Palace beating Aston Villa 4-1. I'd say this is one of Villa's biggest losses of the season.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of hurting them, like, for table implications. But, man, you said it for the last game when Palace played Fulham. Palace are cooking up, and they also cooked Millwall. They had a decent month. They've actually went undefeated outside of the Everton, Everton being
so
Everton.
So, I hope Mateta comes back wearing a mask.
Dude, the Osimhen mask would be kind of tight on Mateta, man. I'm with that.
It'd make him look menacing. I wonder if he could get little, bat ears on it.
Dude, I'm with that, man. But
make it a Bane mask.
That'd be tough.
Oh, you were raised in the dark. I was born in there.
I'm with that, man. But credit to Palace.
Real quick, have you ever seen, you have Max, right? Have you seen the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy show?
I have not. I've only watched trailer on it.
Okay. You should check out, even if you just look up on YouTube, Best of Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy's Bane. They have Bane on there. He's one of the funniest characters on that show.
Is he the same dude, the same voice actor as the Kite Man?
I don't know.
Because they came out with a Kite Man show. I watched a few episodes of that and the Bane. And
it's the same voice actor who does it in there. Yeah, because he's in the first couple
he's
episodes
funny,
of that.
Man. I like him.
But they give him,
I can't take this to the store. What?
Why did you put the money, the down payment for a hit on Harley Quinn on your gold card? You pay for those in cash.
I didn't know, because obviously, guys, I'm not familiar with the comics portion. I'm starting to get a little dibble-dabbly.
No, in the comic books and the movies,
is that
Bane
more
is
accurate? Is the movie, is the Dark Knight Bane more lore accurate?
Dark
or
Knight
is the
Bane is closer to comics Bane than this Bane from the cartoon show is.
Okay. Because Kite Man, they haven't made him seem like he's the funniest guy in the show.
No, but Kite Man is a complete joke in the comics. But he's like, hell yeah.
Kite Man, hell yeah. But I actually started watching.
I love it that they can pick a character like Kite Man. He can get his own show. And season 2 hasn't been greenlit or canceled. I'm 3 episodes into season 1.
It's a weird show, man.
Yeah.
But
the Bane in there is the same Bane you'll encounter in the Harley Quinn show. And
I may have to dibble dabble then.
Yeah. Even if you just look up the best of Bane, do yourself a favor. Like, they give him the pit prison. So I don't want to spoil anything, but they give him the pit prison. Yeah, but he runs it like he's a psychologist, but trying to rehabilitate all of his friends and not acting like he's a criminal mastermind. He's like, there are no doors here because we don't want to shut our feelings away.
Why are they doing him dirty like that? In the animation shows.
But it's so funny because it's like everyone isn't themselves. It's an alternative universe where everything's played as a straight comedy. Because
it's not part of the DCU, right?
No,
okay,
it's its own little its own little world.
So I got a question for you because I just started watching Peacemaker,
mm-hmm.
and. Because I haven't watched it yet, but I hear they're coming out with the season 2. So I'm prepping myself, getting ready for it. What the hell is that intro music every single time? Like, you know how shows have like intros?
Mm-hmm.
It's like John Cena doing a choreographed dance with his little crew. Have you watched Peacemaker?
I haven't watched Peacemaker.
Oh, dude, you should watch it, man. It's pretty good. But they got those weird choreographed intro music. Like, I want to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay.
It really throws me
off. I'll try to
watch
it this week.
Totally different from the vibe of the rest of the show. But
gotcha.
Credit to Crystal Palace. Into the next game here, guys. We got Fulham beating Wolves 2-1 away from home. Ryan Sessegnon, Spurs left back legend. Not really. Scored in the first minute, so I thought that was pretty cool. Matt, any thoughts on this game?
Didn't watch much of these midweek games. Sorry, guys. I literally had missed a tooth on Tuesday night, and I was just limping to the weekend.
Wednesday slate, we got Brentford drawing Everton 1-1.
Brentford drawing, good for Everton.
There you go. We are slowly creeping towards lying in the cannon little by little on this podcast. But maybe we'll do some Man
United.
It's just
too much to watch sometimes.
Yeah, man. Man United beating Ipswich 3-2. Lord Harry Maguire got on the score sheet. Matthias De Ligt got on the score sheet. No attackers got on the score sheet, but a big win for Man United in the relegation battle, quote unquote.
Quote unquote. Gah.
Now let's talk some real football. We got Forest at home drawing Arsenal 0-0. One shot on goal for Arsenal, two shots on goal for Forest. Matt, I'm glad I did not watch this game, but you said you got some thoughts on this, so I'm excited to hear it.
So this game was very worrisome because this was second versus third.
Yes.
Let's put this in perspective. This was second versus third.
The top dogs.
And this was
team.
One of the worst football matches I had seen. Arsenal couldn't do anything, but Forest couldn't do anything back. And this is second versus third. Forest is not hampered with the same injury crisis that Arsenal is.
No.
And, like, what's his name? Nuno basically said, he goes, oh, we played four at the back instead of our back three with the back turns into a back five because they were playing Marino up front. We had no need to worry. I think you do have need to worry, Nuno, because you couldn't score on this team. Like,
that's a weird thing to say, man.
If you look at the I view a team as three levels. And if you rank these things on like a scale of 1 through 5, sure, Arsenal's defense is a 4.5. Their midfield is a 3. Their attack is a 1 or a 0. And you could have had free reign of the game and you couldn't do it.
That's a weird thing to change your system for a game like this and then say because Arsenal have no strikers. So you're basically saying you usually play every game defensive with the thoughts to counterattack. But because Arsenal doesn't have a 9, we're going to switch it up to a 4 at the back so we can have possession but not do anything with the ball. That is a tactical ideology failure from Nuno, actually, right there. That's a weird thing to
both,
come out and say.
Like, I didn't see anyone in the English media frame it that way. It's like it's second versus third. It's second versus third. And this is one of the most shit-boring games. Like, I was – so, guys, just to keep this in mind, I was going – I come back to this game from a dental appointment, being told I'm gonna have a root canal the next day and then have a crown put on. And I come home, I think this game was on at noon. I come home and I'm laying in bed, have it on, just wanting to rest. And the game was so boring that I couldn't fall asleep because I was so annoyed that this game, I expected Forrest to either trounce us or us to get a 1-0 win. I expected to be 3-0 to the Forest or 1-0 to the Arsenal, and neither team could do what I expected them to do.
Now, to be fair, this comes into my question here. Liverpool have a game in hand over you guys.
Yeah.
You are 13 points behind.
Yeah. We're closer to 10th than we're closer to 1st.
That shit is so annoying. But Matt, what are your title race implications looking like?
I think the title race is done. Okay. I don't think there's any way unless... Actually, the January window's closed. Arsenal's made their decisions. Where it stands right now, unless... Arne Slot comes into the locker room with a baseball bat and just starts hitting kneecaps. There's no way Liverpool's losing this title. Unless he just goes, I don't want you to go to Real Madrid. Whack. Just busts open his knee. You know, I don't want you
to go to the Saudi League. Freaking,
swear, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's just like, you're on the injured reserve.
The Bane joke might have to continue after this podcast, man. But, I'm with you, Matt. The thing is like...
I was raised in the Netherlands.
I just visited there. I could see, like, a situation where Liverpool plunder a little bit. Matt, lock me back in. I could see a Liverpool situation where they plunder a little bit because, listen, you get that win. You're 10 points behind with equal games played. Never mind.
I just
thought about it in my head. For some reason, I thought you guys had 2 games in hand. No, made no sense.
It's a 1 game. The title is Liverpool's. If Liverpool fumble this, which they won't, when you have this insurmountable of a lead this late in the season, I mean, it's the title's Liverpool's. If they fumble it, this would be one of those things that you would talk about in legends. Because I don't think Arsenal can catch
that. That would be
the
definition of a bottle if they lost the title from this point.
And they're not going to. They have a team that's won the their core of their team has won stuff in the recent past. Real trophies.
They're not
going to
make that mistake.
They're not going to fumble. Salah is not going to fumble this. Van Dijk is not going to fumble this. Trent, even though I think he's already imagining what he looks like in red and
white.
And red and white or black and white.
Black and white. Yeah.
Yeah. Black and white. Sorry, guys.
Mainly white, but yeah. The gringos.
You know, he's imagining picking up Spanish pop stars.
Eating way better food.
Yeah, eating way better food. I haven't been to Madrid, but if Barcelona's food is any indication, it's way better than England.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard some bad things about the English food, but I really want to try food out there, man.
Dude, hey, do yourself a favor. So the English food is English food, but I recommend trying. They have a very good African restaurant scene. Try Liberian food, Nigerian food, Kenyan food. They have all sorts of
That's what I was telling the lady. I want to go out there and try, like, not English food, more so the culture food, because, dude, there's a lot of uniqueness going on there, man. A lot of diversity.
Yeah, they have very good restaurants from the people that immigrated to their country. Indian food, some of the best in the world. They actually have some very good takes on burgers. I know it's not American food, but we think it's an American food. They have some great takes on burgers. I had some great burgers there. Okay.
Hey, I'll may have
the kebab it. Scene, real good, but see if I can find the food from Asia, the Chinese, the Thai, the everything, the ramen, the Japanese. It's all very good there. But I'll see if I can find that Liberian restaurant I tried for you.
Yep, I want to send you. Remind me to send you a YouTube short. There's these guys that show up on there every now and then. They're in England, and they do like these street fries. But dude, the chants that they do in there are so funny. They're like, yummy, yummy, yummy. Ching, 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 ching. Spicy, spicy, spicy. I gotta send it to you, man.
Wow.
But I want to eat their food. They're marketing really well, man. But
No, but something like I was in Birmingham and I was eating all the different little street carts they had because I had gone to Oxford. I had lunch at like 10, 11 in the morning, and then I get to there and to the game. I get my ticket, I meet up with the person I'm meeting, and he goes, I'm going to go sit in my seats early. Why don't you go explore? So I go, and they have some good, like, just random street food. Like, I couldn't do that beans and tuna on a potato thing.
Wild.
That's wild. No, they have
the Spud Man.
The chippy chip, where they do the chips with all sorts of, like, we call them loaded fries in the States. Their version of loaded fries are pretty good.
They cut open the bag, and they throw all the stuff in there. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The Spud Man, though, the potato dude. They look good, but don't do tuna and coleslaw or something like that.
Yeah,
that's
I can't do
wild.
The tuna, but I could definitely do like if
I could they, do like chili and cheese. Mm-hmm. You know, I see.
I could
some
do
of
the
those.
Black. I could do black beans and a medley of cheeses.
There you go.
Just put a little bit of like Mexican green salsa in there.
I'm with it.
Little pico de gallo.
For Forest, do you think they get top four or top five? I'll give you the next couple.
Give me the next three fixtures. I'm leaning towards top five.
So March actually seems pretty straightforward. They got Ipswich, City, Ipswich.
What?
They have City. Oh, wait, sorry. That's the fifth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, because they can't.
They have, yeah, my bad. They have Forest. Sorry. They have City, Ipswich, and then United. Then Villa, then Everton, then Spurs, then Brentford.
I'm leaning towards fifth.
Yeah.
Because I think, unfortunately, that Arsenal game just demonstrated to the teams preparing for them where they're weak.
Wait.
What's wrong?
Oh, they play tomorrow. I was so confused. I was like, why are they still in FA Cup? But they play tomorrow in the FA Cup. That's still another game. But
I don't know, man. I'm looking at like the roadmap here, and I'm looking at the teams that would be competing for that top five. Obviously, you have Chelsea, City, and Newcastle. And Newcastle's run, I don't know, man. I don't know what to think anymore, dude. Football's thrown me for a loop lately, dude. Like,
yeah, Newcastle's been so sporadic. I don't know what to think. Like,
they lose like 4-0 to Liverpool, and then they'll beat up City like 4-3 or something.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. But credit to.
Well, let's finish up so we can get into the previews for next week. And then I do want to go to talk the Money Tay League a little bit.
Let's cook up here. So we got Manchester City beating Spurs 1-0 away from home, Erling Haaland in the 12th minute. I did not watch any of this game, but I like that Mateus Tell is still playing football for Spurs.
Great win for City. Yeah. They're starting to come back. They've adapted. I feel bad for Spurs that they're still in 13th place. I never thought I'd see this.
Enjoy it, man. Into the next game here.
It's hard because I really feel for Ange.
Yeah, that's our boy.
Ange has been thrown, like him and Arteta have been thrown just horrible rolls of the Dungeons and Dragons dice.
But credit to City, we got Liverpool beating Newcastle 2-0, goal from Dominic Szoboszlai and a goal from Alexis McAllister, the two midfielders. That's pretty cool. But I watched the Szoboszlai goal. That was all Salah for the setup, and he got the easy assist to Szoboszlai. The team's just clicking on all cylinders, man. It's really hard. They can game plan for any type of style, really. If you want to go in a transition battle with them, you're going to lose. If you're a high possession team, they're willing to just stay organized. This team is too experienced for a high possession team where they can chill in a low block with Van Dijk. And then if you're going to have a low block against them, good luck, because you're literally letting Salah run free against your left back. You're letting Luis Diaz cook up your right back. It's hard to beat, man.
Yeah.
But credit to Liverpool. Into the very last game. Appreciate your patience, guys. We have West Ham beating Leicester 2-0. Goals from Suchek and Vestergaard. I think the Vestergaard own goal was from a Bowen shot, if I'm not mistaken. And it was actually Thomas Suchek's 30th birthday that he scored on.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. But credit to West Ham. Matt, any thoughts on this one?
To be honest with you, man, I think West Ham really needed this. I mean, even though they got the win over Arsenal, they have been so bad lately that they need these 6 points.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say bad, just bland and stale.
Okay, maybe you're better on that.
Like, they can get results, but it is not pretty the way they're doing it. They're not good performances. The rude awakening is coming. Leicester will wake up eventually. But Matt, let's jump into some previews. We finally made it. These are for next weekend's games.
All right, you gonna run this?
That's up to you, man.
No, run it. You have it set up. I don't.
Gotcha. No worries. Saturday, March 8th, a top five battle at 5:30 in the morning. We got Forest at home hosting Manchester City at 5:30 in the morning. Again, it's not just the referees that are pissing me off about this sport. It's the fact that I live on the other side of the world and the fact we have to get up at 5:30 a.m. for a game of this magnitude.
Try living in Hawaii, mate. This game would have been on 2:30.
Screw that.
All the bars are closed, man. You got to watch it at home.
Actually, shout out to my dad. He is actually traveling to Hawaii today.
Oh.
Yeah. Shut up.
Wish you would have told me. I would have recommended some restaurants for him.
I have no idea where he's staying at. I don't know. I should probably ask more questions.
Yeah.
I was very jealous when he told me. So I was like, I'm spiteful.
Yeah, you're jealous of my trip next month, I bet.
Yeah.
River Plate.
Dickhead. Okay, who do you got in this game?
So it's Manchester City away at Nottingham Forest. I will go City 2-1.
I'm going to go 1-0 to City. I think Forest play weird again, and it's a scrapey win for City. Next game up, we got Brighton hosting Fulham.
Oof. I think Brighton 3-1.
Yeah, Brighton are in good form right now. I'm going to agree with you, but I see Fulham getting on the score sheet as well. I'm going to go 2-1 to Brighton. Next game up here, we have...
It's like we're not that far off, man.
These are all the 8 a.m. slates after the City game, by the way. Palace, Ipswich at 8 a.m. Who do you have?
I hate to say it. It's going to be Palace.
Give me the Ipswich upset. Liam Delap, Omari Hutchinson combined for 2 goals, 2-0 over Crystal Palace because our boy Mateta is missing. Ball knowledge.
Oh, hope he comes back in a mask.
Yes, dude, that'd be so sick. That last game of
you
the...
were born in the Eastlands.
Last game of the 8 a.m. slate, we have Liverpool at home hosting Liverpool's C team, Southampton. I'm going to go 4-0 to Liverpool.
5-0 to Liverpool?
Fair enough. 1 p.m. game, we have Wolves hosting Everton. Even though there's a top four game happening at 5:30 a.m., they save the main event for Wolves and Everton. Again, no disrespect to Wolves and Everton. I'm going to go with a 1-0 Everton win.
Yeah, like, so...
Actually, 1-1 draw. 1-1 draw.
And one more. Well, we're going to have many more tangents, I imagine, this. But, like, when people make fun of the NFL, the NBA, and NHL, and even the MLB, if they have multiple games on in a day, they give the spotlight to the big match.
Yes, bro. At least in America, they do it right. Like, they know when the big game is coming, and they plan for it, and they market it, and they have it as the main event. And this one, they just go with the flow, and they leave it at that. it's very frustrating.
Yeah, because like you can be like a Chiefs fan, you're just like, man, we play way too much Monday Night Football. We play way too much Thursday Night Football. Yeah. We play way too much 1 p.m. on a Sunday football.
But you know what the thing is, Matt? You know what they'll say because we're Americans? Mate, it's not your sport. You're not living in England, mate. You shouldn't even be fans of our sport. Support your MLS teams. Support your MLS teams, mate. Sorry, I'm heated right now.
Yeah.
You can see it in my face.
I would say to that argument, the reason that you have the boom that you have in your sport is because American, Korean, Australian, Canadian, Mexican fans glob onto your teams.
Thank you, Matt. Talk, my friend.
We will get into this in the money table, but...
Who do you have in Everton Wolves?
Everton Wolves, Everton. Probably a 1-0 win.
Gotcha.
David Moyes is on fire. He's so hot right now.
Into the Sunday slate at 7 a.m. We got Chelsea hosting Leicester, thankfully not Liverpool.
Matt, I think this will be a difficult game for Chelsea, but I am going to go with a 2-0 win for Chelsea. I'd say difficult in the way that the first 45 minutes will be tough.
3-0 to Chelsea. Cole Palmer scores a banger from just outside the box for the second goal.
I like that. Next game up here, we have another 7 a.m. game. We got Spurs hosting Bournemouth.
I think
it's going to be a fun game.
2-1 to Spurs.
This is going to be a sick game. I am going to go with a 3-1 to Bournemouth. Give me the... I can't pick against my boy, man.
I got you.
Matt,
but Ange is on the back up.
I got you.
Ange is on his revenge tour.
Sunday.
I'm banking kneecaps, mate.
Sunday, 9:30 a.m., we got Manchester United hosting the mighty Arsenal.
I'm going to kill myself.
For football terms, guys, not literal terms.
Oh, my God. I forgot this game was here. Oh, God.
I'll start it off for you.
Please.
I'm going to go with a 1-0 Arsenal win off a corner.
I can't fathom Arsenal losing this game after that FA Cup shit show to this Man United team.
That's right. Forgot about that.
I'm sorry. If Arsenal lose this game, you might have to do the pod yourself.
Fair enough, man.
I might facilitate it, but you'll just talk to yourself. I'll just be on the Zoom with an e-cigarette, and I don't smoke e-cigarettes. I'm gonna go buy one. I'm just gonna be smoking a beer. And go, yeah.
Just kicking your legs up.
Fuck it. Life has no meaning anymore, Reese.
What do you got?
Arsenal 1-0 off a shitty corner.
Oh, man. Hey, at least we're in agreement. And then Monday, 1 p.m., sorry, we got West Ham hosting Newcastle. I'm going to go with Newcastle 2-0.
West Ham hosting it. I'm going to go a 2-2 draw.
Perfect. Matt, I really apologize, but I really got to use the restroom.
Yep, let's take a quick break.
We'll be right back with you guys.
All right, guys, we are back. All right, Reese, we haven't done stoppage time in a long time, but I want to discuss the new money lead that's come out recently. The first three are no big surprise. Real Madrid.
Really quickly, give us some clarification as to what the money league is for our listeners.
The Deloitte.com UK services financial advisory analysis of football money league is basically the revenues of the teams. The club analysis, basically they generate $1 billion in revenue. Real Madrid, which the terms I'm going to discuss are revenues.
Okay.
This is the money that the clubs have that comes in that they have to pay their build their stadiums, pay off their debts, buy players. It's a big factor in the FFPP rules. And that's why it's such a big deal that the team that's in second. So this is international. This is across all the European leagues. Real Madrid is number one with $1 billion, $45 million in revenue.
No surprise there.
$1.4 billion.
Yep. They are the Galacticos for a reason, yeah, guys.
And then 837 mil is Man City. This is why this is such a big deal. This is why the charges are a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it'll set the league, the tenor of things to come, and may affect our fandoms because if the allegations are true and they're allowed to stand, it really puts a lot of
question marks on the teams. Yeah, 100%.
And we'll go over the ones I really want to discuss is that four through the rest of the league. So let's get this out of the way. Paris Saint-Germain is number three with $805 million in revenue. Now, fourth place is still Manchester United. They're holding on with $770 million in revenues.
Wow.
But let's look at the next four teams that follow them. Okay? Bayern Munich. Kind of a
The biggest team in Germany.
Biggest team in Germany. Yep. 765 million. 5 million away from jumping Manchester United. Once seen as the crowns. You used to be one or two on this list. They've slipped to
comfortably
fourth.
Comfortably one or two on this list with Barcelona.
Their only competition being Barcelona and Real Madrid.
Yep.
Okay. Next up, we have number six spot. Barcelona, 760 million, million. These are based in euros.
The most financially screwed team in football currently. Man United, a close second.
Yep. Now let's look at the. We have some other English teams coming into this. So the two Manchester clubs are 2 and 4. But let's look at Arsenal. Arsenal is next up at seventh place. They have 716 million euros in revenue. Now, I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. Let me find the list here. So, they had a jump of 35%. They're the largest in this league here in the terms of jump. I think the next size one I saw was Aston Villa with 28%.
Yep.
This is why Champions League revenue. So, Villa has this jump, too. We'll get to them in a little bit. But Villa had this jump without Champions League revenue. This is just ticket sales and all sorts of stuff. But Arsenal has closed the gap that used to be so big with Manchester United down to, let me see here, it's a couple mil.
100 million?
No, it's less than that.
Really?
It's 770 million euros to 716 million euros.
Damn.
So they're within 50 million, roughly, of jumping over Manchester United. And let's keep into the factor that in this chart, this season's revenues haven't come in. Manchester United have European money, Europa League money compared to Champions League money.
Yep.
That is a difference of the difference right there. And the cost-cutting measures that are being done at United. I'm really curious to see if this list goes in the next couple of years, if Arsenal can maintain a Champions League spot and Man United doesn't have it. We could see Man United having a free-for-all down this list.
And you know what's crazy is Manchester
just because the other teams are rising because their revenue remains stagnant.
And even after all the FFP stuff and legalizations coming in and all this financial strictness, allegedly, you know, we're still waiting to see with City. But, you know, United hasn't been in the Champions League for a few years now, and they're still top three or four. But the fact that now with all the cost cutting that they've been doing, they're still making this type of revenue is surprising.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we haven't even gotten to the next three teams are English clubs. So, 714 million, just barely two behind Arsenal in seventh, is eighth place Liverpool.
Wow.
And remember, so do you remember this last time this came out? The next team was above Arsenal and Liverpool. Now they're in ninth place, Tottenham Hotspur. There's a 100 million euro gap between Liverpool and Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham, there's a big jump here, 615 million to 714.7. million euros for Liverpool and Arsenal. Arsenal and Liverpool are separated by just roughly 2 million.
Jeez.
2 million. And then there's a 100 million drop from Liverpool to Tottenham. And then your team comes in and it's a 50 million drop to 545 million euros for Chelsea.
Yeah, this is a little scary for us, man.
It is a little scary because you guys have to get back in to...
That's why it's important for us to get in the Champions League.
It's important for you to get out of you to make the jump from Europa Conference to Champions League ASAP.
Yeah.
And that fifth spot, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that the fan bases are tribal and everything, but England, I used to talk to this girl who was very pro Spanish football, and she would say, and Italian football. And she would say that England just can't compete in Europe. Because their league is too strenuous on them, and that you guys aren't real good at football because you're not good in Europe. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that England needs to shift that around because we're at the top 10 of this list, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 10 are English clubs.
Well, I'd say historically speaking, over the last 30 years, I agree with that statement. But I'd say if you look over the last decade, I'd say English football has dominated Champions League football. Outside
I haven't
of
talked
Madrid.
To her since 2016.
Okay,
so
I mean, it's about the same time.
Yeah,
frame.
But at the same time that
because literally right after that, English football took over.
Like, but so the list really gets interesting. I'm going to go through it here. So that clump of 7 through 10 is interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, and as you said with Chelsea, like to the fans wondering why we're not spending so much money in January is because we have to prep for the summer where we may invest, but we may have financial strictness on us if we don't get the football that we're looking for next season.
And that's why Champions League is so important. So of the teams we named, City have it, Man United don't. I'm just talking the English clubs. Yep. All the other clubs in the other leagues have it that we've named, Barcelona, Real Madrid,
the usual suspects,
Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich. Yep. But Liverpool and Arsenal have it. Tottenham, Chelsea, and Man United don't. And that's why we could see that Manchester United may not attain that high revenue, but they could start to fall behind teams like Liverpool and Arsenal as they grapple with having, if they don't win the Europa League, I think it's safe to say that Manchester United will have no European football next year.
Yeah, 100%.
Their only shot is to win the Europa League.
Because they got kicked out of the FA Cup, right? To Plymouth?
I think so, yeah.
Well, I think it was Plymouth.
No, Plymouth beat Liverpool.
That's who it was. Okay. Is United still in? I don't think they are.
Well, they beat us. I don't know what happened after that.
Sorry, you can continue while you're...
Okay, while Reese is looking into that, now we go to... I'm going to go through 11, 12 until we run to our next English clubs.
It's 1-1 in the 90th minute, so we'll let you guys know before the end of this podcast.
So 11th is Borussia Dortmund, 513 million. Then there's a big drop to Atletico Madrid, 409 million. AC Milan, 397 million. Inter Milan, 391 million. Neck and neck, the two Milan clubs.
I'm surprised Inter has not leaped AC Milan yet, considering that the Champions League success that they've had more frequently than AC Milan. That is surprising. Okay.
There could be a lot of factors. They share a stadium.
They also share a stadium. That's true.
We don't follow Italian football as much as we do. It's even Spanish or German football.
You're right.
And now the next team we come to is 15th, Newcastle United. So this doesn't include this year's factor, but this does include the revenue they got from last year's Champions League. Even though it was a disastrous campaign, they still made it.
Yeah.
So when we look at their I'm going to below the chart with the rankings, they have the breakdowns, and I wanted to look in on Newcastle. So Newcastle had a 29% increase in their revenue right behind Arsenal. And Arsenal is like trying to get us fans to spend our rent money on all the kits and the sneakers. Guys, I own 3 Arsenal Adidas sneakers.
They got you freaking rounded up, man.
Yeah, they got $300 out of me, and I'm poor. but we look at that, they are edging up here. They went from 2020 having less than $200 million in revenue to now having just under $400 million in revenue.
You know what I think it has a lot to do with is the type of signings they've made. Like when they brought in Bruno from Olympic Lyon, I think they brought in a huge gathering of Brazilian fans. Mm-hmm. I think they brought in a huge, huge amount of Italian fans with Sandro Tonali, who was literally touted as the next Pirlo, even though he plays nothing like him. And even a guy like Isak, who is probably a superstar in Sweden right now. Like he is probably their next, again, not literally, but quoting him as their next Zlatan, because he is their next striker along with Gyorkis as their guy. Mm-hmm. So I think the types of signings they've made have helped them geographically, much like historically with Spurs and Sun and Korea. So that makes a lot of sense. And then the Champions League football to pair with that.
Mm-hmm. Now they're out of it, so we may see Newcastle drop down here. Yeah. But keep in mind, this doesn't include the Champions League that's going on right now for our next teams that we're going to come into.
Yep.
So next up at 16th, we have Juventus with $355 million. And then West Ham at 17th with $322 million. Keep in mind, West Ham... Conference League champions. They lost the Europa League last year.
Yeah.
I don't think they're in any kind of Europe competition right now. They're struggling, but this is why this is like... When people banter and stuff about clubs, they make fun of West Ham, saying, oh, West Ham isn't massive, and West Ham fans they're massive. They're pretty massive.
They are a Big 8 team, technically, based off that list.
Yeah.
Or Big 9.
Yeah, they're 17th place. When we look at the English teams in here, City, United, Arsenal, Liverpool, Tottenham, Chelsea, Newcastle, West Ham, Villa's next. We'll get into them in just a second here.
9 clubs out of how many on that list?
20.
Yeah.
almost half.
That is insane.
So I just wondered, because here's the next club. We'll get an 18th, Aston Villa. This does not include the Unai Emery Champions League that they're on right now.
Yeah.
This is just Aston Villa before last year's results. This is not including their third place or fourth place finish in the league.
Last season, yeah.
Yes. The prize money they got, the Champions League revenue. They came in the top 8. the money they're going to get, if they survive, who I don't know who they have to play. They have to play Liverpool. They could conceivably make it to the final eight against a Liverpool. That is a marquee TV match with implications in revenue. That's why even like the Arsenal fans that I trust are like, if we can make it past PSV, we get that match against Real Madrid. Even though the viewership doesn't factor wholly into the money you get, it can have like...
It's the eyes, man. And the eyes turns profitability to merchandise and getting Matt to play, buy more sneakers. Mm-hmm. And to bring that up, Aston Villa is currently touted against Club Bruges. So if they don't get past Club Bruges, then I feel like it's a failure. But dude, you were looking at a huge profit jump for Villa if they get past, if they get into that final
eight,
man.
So let's keep this in mind, guys. If Villa, so let's just do the rough math of 120 million you get in Champions League revenue that Villa is going to probably get. I don't know the finals, you know, because it depends on who you play, stuff like that. All sorts of stuff. Let's just do the, they make it to the final eight. They beat Bruges. They roughly get that 120 million that Arsenal got for beating Porto. They would jump up in this list. Let's say that makes them, let's say a rough of 430 million in revenue. Okay. Let's find this. Okay. Boom. They're in 12th. They would, I don't think they're going to jump
Atletico. Get out of the relegation battle, basically, into a mid-table side.
Yeah, they would jump into the range of clubs like Borussia Dortmund, Atletico Madrid, and the Milan clubs.
That is crazy, man.
They could leapfrog Newcastle. Because Newcastle factored into this is their Champions League from the previous season because the funds are into it.
Damn, dude.
That they could go from being in the bottom three to mid-table. That's how important this stuff is. So when people make fun of clubs like Arsenal and Tottenham for trying to build up, they're trying to build to what Liverpool and Man United have inherited.
Yeah.
Because when you look at this, Man United can keep up being dog shit recently. Like, don't get me wrong, I think their Ten Hag got him in third at some point in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But they've won some cups. They haven't made it far in Europe. They had that disastrous league of or group of death with
they've been successful in the domestic leagues, but outside of that they have not been successful.
But they're stagnant in their revenue.
Yeah.
Tottenham were up and now they're down because they lost their Champions League money.
Chelsea have Arsenal dropped off up, a little bit.
Chelsea and Tottenham are down. Yeah. Villa and Newcastle. Villa, Arsenal, and Liverpool are going to continue to move up. If they can keep up that pressure, you could see teams like Liverpool and Arsenal jump a Manchester United.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to build those stadiums, get those other terms of revenue, get the Champions League.
It's also important as to how you build your team. The way Arsenal built their team was structured around their youth, and they built out by buying experienced players, which helped them get into these two title races, which have thrusted them. And guys, the reason this is important is basically... this helps the argument of who's a bigger club. Like, you could literally bring this up in an argument and say, our club is bigger because we have more Champions League history in the last 2-3 years.
So let's look at, so Manchester United had a 3% increase in their revenues. 3%.
It's not good.
That's stagnant.
Very bad.
We look at an Arsenal 35% increase. Let's look at some of the other English clubs. City is kind of weird because of the lawsuits. I don't understand exactly how it's going, but they're only plus 1%. And I'm sorry, guys. I have to expand these and go through them here. So next up would be, let's see how much of an increase Liverpool and Spurs have had. Liverpool have gone up 5%. They're pretty consistent from 2022 to 2024.
Chelsea's probably around, like, what, 1%, 2%?
I'm doing Tottenham next. They're negative 3%.
Tottenham is?
Tottenham.
Okay.
The loss of going to the Europa League, their stadium revenues keep them up.
I figured, does player sales go into this or no?
Just... player sales do go into it.
Really? So even with the 100 million they got from, I guess they reinvested it technically. No, I feel like they didn't spend all that K money. I don't know. Who's next?
All right, so Chelsea is at negative 7%. Yeah,
that makes sense.
They went up in 2023, and then they dropped in this one. They were at 589 last round.
Yep.
They're at 546.
That makes sense.
And now let's go into the clubs that, I wouldn't call them fringe clubs, because Newcastle, plus 29%. They are on the up. They've been moving up ever since the Saudis bought them, slowly but surely.
And they said, you know, hey, when the Saudis came in, they said, we're not going to just flood money like City did. We're going to build this properly. That is exactly what they're doing, man.
Yes.
They're doing that exactly.
West Ham United up 17%. They are kind of up and down. So 22 million euros. I'm just going to say the number, and we can assume it's million euros after that. 2022, 301. 2023, 275. 2024, 322.
I got a question for you now. In 2030, who do you think is going to be superseding Manchester United in 2030? If you were to name two clubs outside of Arsenal, or sorry, outside of Liverpool, because I think Liverpool, I'm in the boat that Liverpool is a surefire to exceed.
Yeah, because this is their 20th title.
Yeah.
They're going to tie them.
They're going to influx of cash for winning the Premier League and probably going deep into the Champions League. Arsenal are going to get an influx of cash for taking second in the league, and also depending on how far they go into the Champions League. And as you said, the Real Madrid revenue could be freaking massive.
Mm-hmm. I would honestly expect that Villa, because they do have a stealth rich, they're the richest man in Egypt. That's basically like Carlos Slim if Mexico bought like an MLS team and was allowed to invest in them unrelentingly.
Yep.
I think that Villa will continue to move up.
What about you don't see Newcastle? I feel like Newcastle and Villa are like on that same sort of
trend. I think
they
are in the same surge. Okay, so we did leave off here. West Ham at 17% up. The last English team in this is Aston Villa plus 27.
Jesus.
So like, I just wanted to go over this because this is what I find fascinating. This is the stuff in the background. This is why, like, when people talk shit about Daniel Levy, he, from a business standpoint, he runs the best club in England.
Yes. From a player transfer standpoint, not so much.
No. From but a glory standpoint, not so much.
Yeah, he does the other part right. And that's, hey, and I guess, but don't you think at the same time, though, Matt, isn't that why so many United fans hate the Glazers? Why so many fans hate Levy? Because they're focusing more on the business model side of it more than the result side of it.
Well, I'm getting back up to Man United. I did want to go and look at their year over year. Okay. So we're going to go, this goes back to 2020, 580, 2021, 558, 689 in 2022, 746 in 23, and 777 in 24. So they're not as stagnant as I thought. They're continuing to go up in their revenue.
That's impressive.
Well, let's see here. Their biggest.
Actually, the jump is for is because they had a partial sale of their club. So I think that actually played a portion with the Glazers taking.
They also had the commercial revenue. Has continued to go up. So let's go back to 22. They accounted for 309 of their million euros.
Damn.
And then in 2023, it was 355. And then this in 2024 was 360. Jeez. Their broadcasting has remained stagnant, and their match day revenues have remained stagnant. These are the main factors that go into it. And their wage bill has also been dropping, which is surprising to me because they pay their guys a lot of money. But it's kind of bonkers. But then they also factor, this is also the women's teams factor into these two. 10 million of that is also the women's team. And then if we look at like an Arsenal, their women's team is 20 million.
What's Chelsea's?
I'm getting there.
I'm interested to see Chelsea's women's team.
Liverpool's women's team counts for just under 6 million. Tottenham Hotspur's counts for 4 million. And now I'm in Chelsea, and Chelsea's women team is 13 million, second to Arsenal so far. Let's go back up to City because they were kind of ahead of the pack on this. I want to see what their women's team was. 7.9 million in revenue.
Yeah, not so much.
But yeah, dude, like that's when you look at the clubs because this list kind of the player sales are factored in one of these. I just don't remember which one it is.
I gotcha.
And that's kind of bonkers that Arsenal's so far ahead on the women's game. It's a second only
20 million
to Chelsea.
Is nuts, man. 20 million.
17.9.
Oh, I thought you said 20. My bad.
No, just under 20.
That's crazy.
There's still 5 million above Chelsea, which is the next one I can find. Let's check with Newcastle.
I don't think their women's team.
0.4 million.
I was going to say they're
West Ham, 1.8. Yeah. And Villa, I think they have a decent women's team. 6.3.
Okay. Fair enough. My thing is, like, unless you're like one of the big six teams, I don't think your women's team's that good. But Matt,
Arsenal's women's team has sold out the Emirates.
Yeah, that was cold. Wasn't that when they played Chelsea?
Mm-hmm. Chelsea and Barcelona.
I think
they're
the two biggest teams right now in football. That's another thing, Matt. If you're hating on your ownership, sorry, I almost just ate the mic. If you're hating on your ownership, Chelsea fans, what are they doing wrong with the women's team? What's so bad about the women's team, Matt? If the women's team they're 5 points clear at the top, haven't lost a game all season, I don't see no one complaining on their side. Yeah, it's a different project.
Yeah,
the team is so much better than our men's team. But just trust the process, brother. Trust the process.
Yeah.
It's coming. Because
things go in fits and spurts. I mean, you can have, like, my brother loves Dungeons and Dragons. You can have the roll of the dice. It's just, you have that roll that 20-sided die, and you need above a 10, and you get a 9. It's going to hurt you.
Man, what are we running at for runtime right now? I'm very interested.
Let me see here. We are an hour and 34 minutes. I think we covered it. I just wanted to have a little discussion about that money league because that's something I find fascinating.
I loved that portion, dude. I'm not going to lie. We may have to touch base on it next season around this time frame. We should put a timestamp on and just see where we're at.
Oh, I have it bookmarked. I'm on their newsletter. When I get it in, I got it in.
Yeah.
I just didn't have time to review it till this week when I was sick. And I sent you it. I'm like, we're going to review this.
Yeah, I was down. I'm down.
And I'm still on their newsletter. So
this, again, guys, this basically comes down to like the size of your club, technically. Like your revenues are a huge indication of where your club stands, trending towards and where you're headed.
And that's what's surprising. Manchester United has been stagnant, but they're still on the up.
Yeah.
But they haven't had the big swings of like a Villa and Arsenal or like that.
I'm interested to see next year because that's when the sale of the club will be introduced because they bought the club in the summer, right?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what profit margins are looking like with all the cutting costs that they've done. Dude, it's going to be crazy with Manchester United. It may even be a huge profit. We'll see. But Matt, we've had a huge episode. We've got games next weekend. We'll see you guys next week as well. Matt, close this out, my friend.
Live long, watch some football, lads.